Blog Talk Radio.
The charcoal, the lighter fluid, the match. The grill is all set. We are about to get things working here in the kitchen. Sports City, you got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with the chef. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. When the sun goes down, I'm
ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise it wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. So like I said, we got a lot of stuff to get into. A lot of stuff that I sat on for a little bit just so we could get here to cook out and discuss a lot of this, you know, free will, free spirited as best as we possibly can. All of you people out there that have been supporting us, checking us out, downloading the show, getting y'all good old food for thought from the kitchen. Thank you on behalf of the chefs. I want to speak on behalf of Sports City. Keep doing what you do, man. I really want to see y'all participate live. But whatever you need to do to come and get your fix, we got you. We got you. But like I said, today is more or less the controversial topic. I hope we could dig as much as possible into these dishes. I'm going to try my best, people, and deal with me, Sports City. I'm going to try my best to get through as many as I can. But these topics today, I repeat, are highly flammable. I know that these topics could stir up a storm in the kitchen, especially the way this stuff has been going down the past week and a half or so. And I just got wind of something that just happened. That's going to happen this Saturday. So I got another interesting, I can't even talk because I'm ready to get this off. Interesting and controversial topic here at the cookout. Calling in by way of the state of South Carolina, my big brother. Y'all know him as Nostradamus, a.k.a. Mr. Knight Chandler. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm okay, man.
That's a good thing. I know I got work to do to get you riled up, but let me just jump into it till we start to fill up this kitchen and see people pop up around here. The first topic that I do have on slate, right? I know that we have been sitting on this for quite some time, Sports City, but now I felt it's only right to discuss this here at the cookout, because it's kind of like, you know, we get the rangy stuff here. Like, we get to go off the charts with it and see how people feel. So it's the cookout. We're going to get as in-depth about this as we possibly can. Now, during a rookie symposium, 2014, Chris Carter addresses the rookies that are coming into the NFL. And, you know, they have to kind of put these guys on the right path, making sure they don't step on the wrong landmine, if you will, and don't, you know, get in the harm's way or trouble's way. Don't let trouble find them, so on and so forth. And the statement that was made was basically a situation if they are going to be in a, you know, a certain scenario to make sure that there's somebody to take the rap, if you will, if I'm stating that correctly. What he said was to have a fall guy. But, you know, a different scenario, people look at fall guy a different way. I'm saying the fall guy is somebody that they could post blame to, which is not cool. Okay, so Chandler, your thoughts on this scenario? I know we've been sitting on this for quite some time. Your thoughts on Chris Carter, the statement that he made, you know, was it good, bad, or indifferent? And is that the right way or the wrong way to address, you know, 21, 22-year-old guys or men leaving college to come to a professional rank?
Well, my first question is, what does it take to get fired from ESPN? Seriously. Because now, keep in mind that this just happened.
Oh, Wait, hold on. Make sure, just stay on Chris Carter. I got everybody on slate for the rest of the day. I got everybody on slate.
No, I got it. I said, keep in mind, this happened after he was elected to the Hall of Fame. He stamped there in the Hall of Fame jacket.
Right.
In the Hall of Fame jacket, saying this. Now, this is the same guy who claimed he was mentoring Josh Gordon, who couldn't stop smoking weed and got himself suspended and probably ruined his career. This is the guy that was mentoring him. So what the hell was he telling Josh Gordon? Oh, don't worry about it. Just blame it on somebody else. Remember Josh Gordon said, oh, it wasn't me. It was this. It was this. I was in a car with people. I was locked in a closet, and people was blowing weed smoke under the door. This is the guy that they have. This guy coaches high school kids. He coaches and mentors at-risk high school youth in Florida. This is the man they have coaching high school children. This man. I've been saying for years that Chris Carter was a fraud. Tyler, why you don't like Chris Carter? He's a fraud. He should be fired instantly. Yet, nobody wants to say anything about it. Oh, well, you know. Really? Oh, well, you know? How in the hell do you tell these young players coming in, a lot of them running around with cats that are, you know, doing all kind of nonsense. You're supposed to be telling them to distance themselves from that. Telling them how, listen, if something happens, you know, go the other direction. Don't be out there getting in trouble. Instead, go out and do what you want to do. Just make sure you got somebody to blame so they can go to jail for you. This is after Ray Rice. This is after Greg Hardy. This is after all of these things. This is what this guy's telling. And this is a guy that people been holding up. Oh, Chris Carter, he's such a paragon of virtue. He always talking about God. He's a fucking hypocrite. Okay? This is the man that people want to talk about. Oh, Chris Carter's such a good guy and mentoring all these guys. No wonder every player he mentors winds up in trouble, suspended. No wonder. And shame on every one of the former players except Carl Banks, who had nothing to say. The same players who wanted to jump on Geno Smith. He got his jaw broken. That's a lack of this. They spent 2 weeks crucifying Geno Smith. But did you hear people out of Damian Woody? Damian Woody, where are you? You had all this to say about Geno Smith. You got nothing to say about Chris Carter? Tom Jackson, Keyshawn Johnson, where the hell are you? All you guys want to win on Geno Smith and character assassinate him, but it's okay for Chris Carter to tell these young men, go out, go ahead and get in trouble. Just make sure you got somebody to blame. Really? How'd that work out for Aaron Hernandez? How'd it work out for Michael Vick? And not for nothing, they happen to post this one. How many years has he been doing this? How many years has he been mentoring these guys and giving them bad information? Because fact of the matter is, as soon as he started mentoring Josh Gordon kept getting suspended. 1 + 1 = 2, man. But this man is still on the air. How in the hell is he still on the air? Chris Carter is a fraud. He should be fired instantly. He should never be allowed. He should never be allowed to be around high school children. Because I'm gonna say this again. He mentors at-risk high school youth. If he's telling this, that guy's already made it to the NFL. What the hell is he telling these kids in high school?
Okay, we do have Nacho here in the building. Nacho, welcome to the Cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good, feeling great, getting off of work and living. I guess we could just jump right into it after that. There's really hard to follow that. Pretty much everything Chandler said is correct. The thing is, as I hear, and I'm behind Chandler 100%. Now, I've been one of those guys, the 100% honesty, who was fooled by the Chris Carter on ESPN, who was fooled by the players and people coming out and saying, you know, Chris Carter's this, Chris Carter's a good guy, and don't believe what he did when he was younger and the way he acted. Now he's all about God, and I believed it, and I thought that was, evident in what he was doing. Now, Chris Carter is one of those guys who isn't, who does not hold his tongue. He does like to say how he feels, and it can be quote-unquote raw, real, or whatever. This is absolutely wrong and in every sense, shape, or the form. And I'll take another turn at it. I've heard some people excuse this or explain this as him saying, if you're going to have all these people around, if you're going to have all these, an entourage of guys, and majority of them you're not going to know, majority of them are just there for the ride and the money, pick one of those guys to be your fall guy, or pick one of those guys and make sure they know that if anything happens, they hold the stuff, or they get in the driver's seat, or whatever, what have you. That's even wronger. That's even more wrong. Wronger is not even a word. That's how wrong it is. Oh my God. Just the way that you could say how people can explain that as, you know, a sensible. I'm so at all right now at what he has said to these young players. You know, he kind of hit the nail on the head again and again and again. Every player he's mentored still gets into trouble. And it doesn't stop. So obviously he's not doing stuff right. And it's just, it gets to me where there's no explaining this away. There's no thinking it was a joke, because Sapp and him ensued to laugh at it. And he was laughing during this. And you can't take it as a joke. It is what it is. He's telling these kids, like Chandler said, to do whatever you dang well please, no matter if it breaks the law, hurts someone else, hurts someone you love. Do whatever you want to do. Just make sure someone's there to go to jail for you, to go to that court date for you. There couldn't be anything more wrong with a 30-second clip than what I saw from Chris Carter. Just the amount of ignorance, the amount of disrespect to the league, to the fans, to these players. You're disrespecting these players by giving them false information and giving them information that will no way in I'm not going to curse, and no way in heck will help them out in their life whatsoever. That advice never in life is going to help you out. So for him to go on and say things of that nature, whether you want to take it in the context of to what some people are and it was a joke, or you want to take it into another context, there's no way, shape, or form about it. He's telling these kids, and they are kids, like Chandler says, they are kids. They're 8, they're 21, and they're barely being able to, you know, taste a sip of beer legally, and they're kids. And you're telling them that is pretty much, you're in the NFL, and you can do whatever you want. Just make sure you got someone there to take the rap. And I just can't disagree with it more. And the fact that he sits up there, stands up there in a gold jacket, and has to, and has the audacity to say this, the gold jacket should be ripped from his shoulders. That's plain and simple. And you know, that's just, and I know it may be going too far, but he needs to be removed from ESPN. And that gold jacket needs to be removed. I know they can't do anything about it, but in my opinion, it needs to go. He's not worthy of that jacket.
I don't know if this statement takes away from what he did on a football field. That's a whole different situation. I think his mindset and where his head is a whole different scenario. Now, what he said and what he did and how he was in front of the rookie symposium is extremely questionable. Now, the crazy thing about this, and this is probably before the big storm happened between the both of them, they're on stage with Chris Carter and Warren Sapp, and it hurts me to talk about Sapp because I was a fan of Sapp, especially while he was in college and, you know, playing defensive tackle coming through high school, and somebody I try to emulate at the end of the day, but knowing how both of these guys had their past, and we're human, you know what I'm saying? And we make errors, so on and so forth. But for him to be on that stage and trying to guide these guys down the right path, now I think of two different scenarios. The first scenario is the player that he brings to the stage. The player that he brings to the stage is Teddy Bridgewater. I am a Hurricane fan, and I do watch TV entertainment, and I know what First 48 and things like that of that nature are, and Teddy Bridgewater's from the city of Miami. And he says, you're from Miami, right, Teddy? You got somebody that'll, you know, take care of business or take the rap for you, won't you? And Teddy shakes his head, yes. Now, I think he more or less say yes because Hey, he might have people in his circle that will do work or do some crazy stuff like that, or B, just shake his head yes to agree with a legendary Chris Carter at the end of the day. And then B, or two, the way I look at this outside of the spectrum of things is something that Chandler hit on, but I had this already written down to discuss. He said, have somebody take the rap, and then Chandler threw out a guy like Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez got in trouble committing a murder with several guys with him, making a run for it from, you know, a park or what have you, all the way back to his house or whatever, and, you know, legal situation, everybody goes down, his girlfriend slash fiance is all involved. Nobody wanted to sit there and take the rap for a murder charge. Is that something, and not to say that all of these players are going to go out there and commit a murder or something that devastating at the end of the day, but this is what you're telling them at the end of the day. Now, and this is why I threw out Aaron Hernandez, because I continually throw this at everybody that I know. You would rather choose the life of crime over, i.e., or the example that I use, his $41 million extension. Wouldn't you want to advance or get better or get away from that situation and still be in it and have three or four guys around you and be like, yo, you take the fall, I'll help bail you out of jail or give you some lawyers, this, that, and third. That's not the way you want to approach things. And that is not the way you have something set out as being your speech. You got to plan these things better. And I don't know if this is the situation why the entire NFL left him alone in the draft that he was in. He got picked up in the supplemental draft. People do not know that. If people do not know that Chris Carter did not get picked up in an NFL draft. So, you know, I don't know if this is the right channel or the right guy to go to. And B, the biggest situation is if the ESPN does let him go off of the panel of Sunday morning with Chris Berman, Kyle Jackson, and the crew up there, Keyshawn Johnson, because this is coming right around the corner. This is at least a week or two away before you have to really start seeing Chris Carter on a day-by-day consistent basis up there. I think he did not use better judgment. The NFL sat on this for far too long, and now they're trying to, you know, delete this and get this under the wraps, because this is over a year or close to over a year of, you know, being footage that the NFL sat on that we did not see until now. Until now. So, Like it's been said previously, the NFL has so much stuff that they try to sweep under the rug. I do not know how they get away from the avalanche of this storm around Chris Carter.
Hey, I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, I'm about to look it up right now, and I think I heard it and I might have read it this morning. It was actually on their website, was it not?
Yeah, it was.
It was on the website, so it's not like we didn't, like the public hadn't access to it. No one brought it up until Chris Borland brought it up and was unwilling to name the NFL player who said it. That's when the news outlets went and searched for it and found it. But it was out there. And the fact that it was out there for over a year and no one said anything about it until Chris Borland brought it up in an interview, that speaks volumes as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of things with that, Nacho. There was a reporter who was allowed access to that symposium. And when Chris Carter got up there and said that, an NFL representative looked at him and said, you can't report that. Like I said, these media outlets, they are the public relations firm for the NFL. Shame on all of them. But here's the other piece to that. Remember the CeCe Sabathia video that was circulating about 2 weeks ago where he was about to get in something and his two friends dragged his big ass into a cab and did not let him get in trouble? That is what, those are the people you want around you. That is what you should be telling these guys. Listen, if you want to have somebody around you, something happened, you want some guys who are going to drag you from the scene and keep you from getting in trouble. Instead, he's telling them, go find some people who, not only going to let you fight, they're going to start a fight for you. Think about that. Think about the two guys who were CeCe Sabathia. Tell me they're not real friends, because they could have let CeCe get into it. What did they do? CeCe Sabathia is 6'8" and 300 pounds.
I know.
Okay. And those two dudes, both of them together were not his weight. Yet somehow they wrestled him into a cab to keep him from doing something stupid. And you got, but Chris Carter to bring Teddy Bridgewater up there. A kid who could potentially be the face of the NFL, he's ruined that for him.
He has ruined that for Teddy Bridgewater. Think about that for a minute. Teddy Bridgewater could potentially be the face of the NFL. You think they're going to promote him as the face of the NFL now? That he stood up there and said, you know, I'll go on somebody to take the rap for me. This is a kid who's never been in trouble, and that's the guy you bring up on stage? Teddy Bridgewater, that's the guy you bring up on stage? There's so many levels, so many things wrong with this. So many things wrong. And the fact that the thing that bothers me the most is Carl Banks is the only former president, the only one, past, present, whatever, that has come out and said Chris Carter was wrong. Think about that for a minute. He's the only one.
And I think real quick on the Teddy Bridgewater thing, and not to jump off it, but I think he was a rookie who was looking up to a guy in a gold jacket. I think we can't get off of that fact. You're a rookie, and you're sitting there, and there is a man who's played the game you just got drafted to play, standing in a gold jacket, the one thing that every single rookie in that building wants to wear at the end of their career when it's all said and done, telling you and asking you a question. And to be honest, the way Chandler said it, and I'm sure it was swayed for him to say a yes. It wasn't swayed. You can ask a question to lean yes or no. I'm very sure it was asked in a way of, you know, you got one, right? Not a yes or no. It was more of a right. Yeah, I have to have one at this point. And the fact that, like I said, he's standing up there in a gold jacket. I don't think this was Teddy Bridgewater giving an honest answer. I think this was Teddy Bridgewater giving an answer to a guy who seemingly is towering over him, who not physically, but you understand what I mean.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Nacho, and that's what bothers me even more is the fact that he put Teddy Bridgewater in an untenable situation. What was Teddy Bridgewater supposed to say at that point? And the fact that he was representing the Hall of Fame tie, and that's why I agree with Nacho, he should be removed from the Hall of Fame. Because at that point, he's representing the Hall of Fame when he's standing there doing that. Is this what the Hall of Fame represents? The Hall of Fame is about telling young men to go out and to commit crimes and blame someone else? To go out and do things to discredit themselves, their organization, their families, and blame someone else? Don't take responsibility for yourself. Don't be an upstanding citizen. Do whatever you want. Commit all the crimes you want. Be a dirtbag. Just have somebody to blame.
And to be fair, and Ty said, you know, I understand what you're saying. It doesn't take away from his play on the field. But there are several guys on both sides that are being held out because of their attitude off the field. And there are guys who are being let in because of their attitude off the field. And that means that their attitude is superfluous and the best grade A, and they're pretty much a choir boy off the field. And on the field, they were an average, an above-average player. And that's what I mean. That's why I say if you're going to be able to hold people out because they weren't the greatest off the field, you got to be able to take it away when someone does something this egregious.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, Ken Stabler's still not in the Hall of Fame, Ty. And you know this is all about the fact that they didn't like him and things that he said and did. You understand what I'm saying? But Chris man, go ahead, Ty. I'm sorry.
Now let's take it, Chris. That's very close to home for me. This is very close to home for me. Let's just look at a situation of another NFL player that's in the Hall of Fame and did something after him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Family member of mine, distant cousin, no bull crap, Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor gets inducted to the Hall of Fame, gets into the sting operation up here in New York. Mind you, he's living in Florida, married, family, children, all this down the third. Comes up here and messes with, you know, girls under the age of 18, gets caught in that, you know, prostitution ring or what have you. I mean, is this a situation where they remove one of the best players of all time out of the NFL from the Hall of Fame? I don't think it takes away from his style of play, but he is a gentleman now that people look at differently because of the act that he did in his own personal life. Now, it's a different comparison, but similar stage, if you will, where Lawrence Taylor has basically everybody that plays defense wants to have that same tenacity out there on the field, but Lawrence Taylor did a lot of grimy stuff during his playing days, you know, and I mean, the stuff goes on what he used to do to teams that would visit New York, so on and so forth. And then, you know, before he got into the Hall, when he got into the Hall, after he was in the Hall, there's things that followed him. there's no speculation of him getting his jacket ripped off of him, even though this is somebody that, you know, his family. I don't want to see it happen, but looking at Chris Carter's situation, we don't know what dirt Chris Carter's gotten into, even though it's like, who was riding with Chris Carter that got into trouble? We don't know somebody from the Eagles when he was with the Eagles for that little short stint, got into trouble with him, and he left Buddy Ryan and those guys, or while he was in Minnesota, if something happened, or just like Chandler said, the guy that he was mentoring and speaking to, just think about one of the guys that I love the most, Randy Moss. I mean, Randy Moss was getting mentored by Chris Carter, and Randy Moss had a crazy history with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, he hit a cop with a car while he had marijuana in the car, you know, squirting referees, and I mean, the list goes on and on around Chris Carter, but I don't know if this takes away from him specifically on the field. Now, I understand he's representing the NFL, so on and so forth, but it, I mean, you still can't take away from the style of play that the guy had brought to the NFL field on a game-by-game basis. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that they can look at it like that, but I do understand where both of you are coming from, that he's representing the Shield at the end of the day.
They took O.J. Simpson's bus down. They took O.J. Simpson's bus down. Okay, so it's been done before. They took O.J. Simpson's bus down in the Hall of Fame. They took it down. Okay, they took it down. So there is precedent for them to take Chris Carter's bus down, if nothing else. There's precedent for it because listen, they took O.J. Simpson down.
And but see, here's where we draw on a fine line here, because we have I don't want to say convicted of murder, but he was actually in a murder case, if you will, where everybody's feeling like that was the situation. Then he gets caught up in a robbery where they were taping every last thing about this situation. So, I mean, if we're going to pick and choose the situation, I think O.J. is probably the only one that we could think of right now offhand, while a lot of other players probably have been in a situation after they've got inducted into the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, this is a tough scenario. This is a tough scenario on what the NFL has to choose to do right here, especially with Chris Carter and you know, guys that probably are in the same light sharing a questionable recent situation. I wasn't going to say past. I mean, you can't include the past because we don't know what Chris Carter may have gotten into now in his full career of being in the NFL, and somebody else is probably in trouble or facing probation. Who knows? I mean, that's a terrible situation that Chris Carter actually painted that type of picture. But we'll see if they do address his Hall of Fame bust and actually pull it down and so on and so forth. But I doubt that they do any of that. I really do. Okay, so like I said, we got a ton of topics, and we're already a third of the way through the show. We might have to extend the show, so Sports City deal with us. The next situation I want to get into, and this is quite controversial, Sports City, quite controversial. And if Brian was here, it would probably be an excellent show right now, because I would definitely want to see what he would have to say about his coach. But Steve Sarkisian, head coach of a college football team, comes out and goes on a rant while drunk. Now, understand this. Now, it was saying that he was under the influence of alcohol, so on and so forth, and he slurred words, you know, said some words that people may want to retract, and he didn't curse, so that's the interesting thing, but he said a word that, you know, people find kind of malicious, if you will. Now, the interesting thing about it, he comes out with a statement as of today and saying that he was on meds. I think this is this is something that Bo would say, the politically correct thing to say. You know, he says the politically correct thing to say, on meds and being drunk with all of that mixing, you know, anything can happen, anything can be said. Now, here goes something for you, Chandler, and I'll go to Nato first, though, but here's something for you. ESPN has a show called Sports Nation, right? And this is for you about the ESPN situation. I had to use ESPN because I don't like to bash or badmouth them, but they do their work, you know what I'm saying? But they have Max Kellerman and Marcellus Wiley, you know, respond to the situation about Sarkisian, and both of them are kind of pro-Sarkisian being drunk and saying what he wants to say. You have Max Kellerman saying, you know, football and beer is American, and Marcellus Wiley saying, you know, a situation where, you know, people have been drunk around their coworkers and their friends, so on and so forth, things get said to that nature. So it was kind of interesting to see, like, they kind of, you know, raise my eyebrow to the situation, or them not kind of being questionable about the situation where he's a college coach. Now, mind you, we just went from Chris Carter making a questionable statement. And I'll say questionable, but I know I feel a different way about it other than questionable. But saying a questionable statement in front of guys leaving college to come to the professional ranks. Meanwhile, you got a head coach about to jump into the coaching, I mean, into the collegiate season, which is upcoming in about a week or two. And he made a statement like this while drunk. And I'm not going to lie, I went to college. And the college is drinking. So you mean to tell me that some of his players on his team or players that are on the campus are not going to drink or get into these type of situations and say something that could probably get them in trouble, so on and so forth? Sarkisian is supposed to be a leader by example. And I want to see how you guys feel about the Sarkisian situation here at the cookout. Nacho, I'll go to you first.
You know, I did hear about this. I did not actually get to hear the unedited version, so I don't know the precise words that he said. When I heard it in the context that I heard it in with the bleeps in there, it sounds like he was raring the troops or, you know, saying, you know, not the best verbiage to say it, but, you know, let's go team and things like of that nature. My biggest problem is we were talking about Fall Guys, and then we're talking about, and Chandler brought up the excellent point to have friends like CC Sabathia. And the problem is, where were his coaching staff? Where were the runners of the event? Because I'm sure he didn't just walk up to the podium and start talking. Someone had to have asked him, are you ready to go? And when he says one word, you by then know he is extremely intoxicated and he cannot go on like that. You stop him from going on and you nip it in the butt. If there's any consequence from him, as it be him yelling or getting upset because this is his team and he needs to talk, you sit him down and you get the consequences tomorrow after he wakes up and what have you. But you have to be the bigger one to let him not go out there and do that. Now, for him to go out there and get drunk at an event where there's alcohol, at an event where, you know, he is an adult, he can do that. I don't know the circumstance, whether he was planned to speak or was just called on to speak. So I can't, you know, relate to the fact if he went there and knowingly got drunk while he knew he was going to go on and talk to these kids. That's a different story than if he was there drinking, having a good time with his family, and then was just called upon to speak. That's a different situation all itself. But I think for him to go up there and say the things that he said, I don't have a problem with how he said them. The fact that he was drunk, the fact that they are cuss words in there, I think he could have verbally put better words in there if he was not drunk, obviously. So the things he said, raring his staff or raring his team and staff and school, obviously I don't have a problem with. The fact that he's saying them drunk, the fact that they're cuss words, the fact that he should have and could have sat down and not have said anything at all would have been the better thing to do. But I just feel you need to know your limits, one. You need to know that if you're about to speak, you sit down. And also he needs, not him, but the people around him, like you said, we need to look at the people around him as well. That means that they're not on a good level as well. And that might mean that a coaching change needs to happen. A whole coaching staff needs to happen. I know the year is just starting. You can't do it right now, but that has to be in the mindset for this to happen. For him to be able to get up there and be drunk, for his staff and everyone around him to let him go up there and be drunk, that's the appalling thing. And that needs to be checked immediately. If not, there needs to be change.
Okay, now, Chandler, I'm going to kind of twist this around a little bit for you, but you can still address it how you like to also. Now, mind you, Steve Sarkisian was into a situation with one of his students last year, or student players, let me get that correct, where they actually had a spat where the player came at Sarkisian and said Sarkisian felt a certain way about certain athletes a part of the roster, if you will. And, you know, Sarkisian defended his side of the situation. And I think there's two different instances. But now where there's smoke, there is fire. Your thoughts on Sarkisian, especially from what's built into him, you know, now being with the USC, one of the top prestigious jobs in college football is one. And two, I mean, literally, where does he go from here? He's saying that he's going for treatment. I mean, he was under medication while he drank an alcoholic beverage. I mean, you have to have better judgment while being in front of a couple hundred people, if not thousands. But now it's in front of millions of people with a perspective in front of the USC Trojans head coach.
Remember the other day we talked about the business of college football? This is a perfect example. First of all, I was waiting on him to come out and say that he was on medication and alcohol didn't mix well with the medication. I was waiting on that statement to come out because I knew it was coming. To Nacho's point, where the hell were the organizers of this event? Why did they let him go on? His athletic director had to run up on stage and drag him off of the stage. This is an event with children. This is not an alumni dinner at some steakhouse with a bunch of adult boosters where everybody's drinking and smoking cigars where you can talk all kind of crap. This was a family-friendly event, okay? You had children, you had grandmas, you had all of that. And he thought it was okay to get drunk. Now, Lane Kiffin has gotten killed over the years. Told him, oh, he embarrassed this, he embarrassed that. How in the hell did Lane, tell me something Lane Kiffin did that was worse than this. You can't. Lane Kiffin got fired because he was an embarrassment to USC. How in the hell does Steve Sarkisian still have a job? Now, again, this is supposed to be a father figure for young men, 17, 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-olds. Okay? He's supposed to teach them about responsibility. Gee, it's no wonder that a player of his last year, you know, broke into somebody's apartment, jumped off their balcony, broke his leg, and then lied to him, I was trying to save my young cousin, so I jumped off the balcony to try to get to the pool. Remember that? Remember that? And then the kid had to fess up because everybody was like, what you told me don't even make sense. And this is a player that Sarkisian defended, by the way. This tells you the mentality not only of Sarkisian, but of that program. Once again, don't worry about it. As long as we win in games, it's okay. As long as we win in games, it's okay. These Sarkisian should be fired. I'm not trying to hear about medication. I'm not trying to hear, oh, not for nothing. Again, here we go, responsibility. Label says don't mix with alcohol. You mixed it with alcohol. What are you going to tell these young men? What are you going to tell these parents when you go into their home and say, don't worry, I'm going to teach your son responsibility? Really? You mean the responsibility you showed at a family-friendly event where if I believe you, you decided to mix alcohol and medication, or you just decided to get drunk? Which one is it? Pick one. Pick one of the lies. These Sarkisian should be fired. I'm not trying to hear it. But you know what? USC's winning games with him, so he won't be fired. They'll make excuses. They don't make it right. Just another example, man, that as long as you can make money for somebody, you can keep your job.
Okay, anything else that needs to be said around Sarkisian? Because I think it's self-explanatory what's going on right now. And to be positive towards the situation, I think more or less it depends on how he bounces back from treatment, so on and so forth. But he's going to have to coach the season. This season is right here at the doorstep right now. So he's going to have to do this, i.e. probably during the season after him doing his, you know, his footage or homework, if you will, on film for the team, or in the off season after, you know, December or January, depending on if they make a bowl or if they are strong enough to make the you know, college football playoffs. There's a whole nother monster in itself, but Sarkisian is in deep water as of now. Anything else that needs to be said as we move on? Okay, the silence helps me. Now, here goes the third controversial issue in sports. I'm telling you, Sports City, it has been a quite controversial day for me, but it's cool. It's the cookout, so we get to discuss these things, and I love this. Now, but this is something that, you know, somebody I actually speak to him on a social media level, and he's a very cool guy, good-natured guy. I respect him because of who he is and what he did. And is somebody that's big in Nacho's area of the country. Kurt Schilling, another analyst on ESPN, no less, he was a part of the Little League World Series panel, and he makes a tweet. I don't know if it was during the games that were going on, but he makes a tweet in comparison to Muslim extremists comparable to Nazi. And, you know, the percentage, so on and so forth, and how wrong or indifferent that may have been. Now, ESPN removed him immediately from the Little League World Series situation. He's taking it on the chin, basically saying that that was his fault and, you know, wrong choice of words, so on and so forth. But your thoughts on Kurt Schilling. Now, Kurt Schilling, you know, like I said, I speak to him. Very good-natured guy. But, you know, I mean, to a point, I mean, do you respect where he's coming from, thinking of the Muslim extremists and people that are, you know, suicidal or trying to take out, you know, whole masses of people, so on and so forth? I mean, there's a lot of smoke here, and the smoke can be outside of Kurt Schilling, depending on people's perspective. But, Chandler, I'll let you start this one up. Your thoughts on Kurt Schilling and the new information that's formed around him in the situation with him at the Little League World Series.
Kurt Schilling's a POS. Because here's the thing. What about the Christian extremists? You know, those homegrown terrorist groups who think it's their job to ensure that all of the people of color don't keep polluting this country? What about them? Every religion has extremists. Every single one. Did he compare any of them to the Nazis? Did he compare? First of all, you don't make a comparison to Nazism based on the atrocities they committed. Okay? It's insulting to the survivors, the children of survivors. It's insulting to a country in Germany. It's insulting to the 3 million Muslims around the world. Just insulted an entire religion. An entire religion. Oh, by the way, he didn't say that he was sorry for what he said. He said he was sorry for tweeting it. He said he accepts the suspension because he shouldn't have tweeted it. He didn't say that he didn't believe it. He just shouldn't have tweeted it. He just should have sat around with his friends, you know, and talked about it. He should have sat around with his friends and been a racist. Just don't let the world know you're a racist. You know, it's okay when you're doing it with your friends. What does it take to get fired from ESPN? I keep asking that question. There's so many things wrong with what he said. Why are you singling out Muslims? And don't talk to me about 9/11. Don't talk to me about that. I serve. Don't talk to me about it, okay? Because you're not going to take a paintbrush. Anybody remember the Crusades? Anybody? Anybody remember the Crusades and what was done all across the world during the Crusades? Anybody want to talk about that? No, let's just talk about the Muslims. Let's just talk about that. Because, see, now it's okay if you know, you want to bash Muslims because, you know, now that there's been a terrorist attack in the United States, now people, everybody, go, oh, terrorists. Okay? What? You know what, man? I'm not trying to hear anything a man has to say. Ty, you know I've had no use for him for years. It's just another example of the fact that, you know what? There's a whole lot of people who are closet racists. And the great thing about social media is they're all getting exposed.
That's true. And the crazy thing about it is now everybody gets to see their thoughts and opinions in an open light, if you will. And the timing of the situation for him to make this while he's around, you know, kids, and who's to say what nationality, ethnicity, or religious background may be out there. They're coming from all areas of the globe, not just the country, because you got the China team out there, you got Mexico there. I mean, you don't know who you could be bumping into, but it's interesting that Kurt Schilling makes a statement like this to, you know, jeopardize his situation while he is, you know, a respected individual in the world of sports today. Now, Nacho, you being a Diamondback fan is kind of why I saved you for last on this. Your thoughts on Kurt Schilling, his situation or his views toward, you know, Muslim extremists in comparison to, you know, Nazis back in, you know, the World War I situation?
You know, I was a little bit of a Kurt Schilling fan. I wasn't the hugest. I was way more of a Randy Johnson fan and you know, the closer at that time for us, Byung-Young Kim. I was more of
those two as it pertains to the pitchers. Curt Schilling, I knew he was good. I didn't really think that he was, the guy. I thought Randy Johnson was that guy. It wasn't until we all know about the 4 days in October and things like that that I realized how good the guy is as it pertains to being a pitcher. But it sickens me that when I think about the one shining moment as a Diamondbacks fan, being so young and being able to grow up with a team that was originated in your hometown and to, at such a young age of a franchise, win a championship against one of, if not the greatest franchises in Major League, I have to share that with this piece of crap. That memory is forever in my mind with Curt Schilling, and I have to keep it there because of the youthfulness and the memory that that brings of that championship. But it hurts that that he has to be in it on a personal level. Being part German, it's quite ridiculous to have to listen to him just apologize for the tweet. It really does hurt to the core. The fact that he is pretty much still going to walk into the Hall of Fame. The fact that it's not going to do anything at all to hurt his career because he's going to be suspended. He takes it. He'll be back. And he'll be back on our TVs just like Chris Carter will. It saddens me because I won't watch those shows anymore. NFL Sunday will not be watched. Baseball Tonight, if Curt Schilling's on, will not be watched anymore. And that's my opinion, and it won't be because of the other anchors. It's because of the organization failing to see their failures at those two positions, and they're going to keep them there. And that really does. The Curt Schilling does hurt me more, being German, and to listen to him and to listen to other people defend it, it really does sicken me to my stomach. So it really does, it hurts because, like I said, when we talk about Diamondbacks fans of that 0-1 championship, the second or third name is Curt Schilling. And that's horrid now to have him in that memory. It really is because, like Chandler said, these closet racists are getting exposed because of social media. The fact that, Chris Carter got his jacket, so now it's a green light to say whatever he wants. Curt Schilling has his green light to say whatever he wants. And these players or anyone else get the green light. And Chandler, you're right. What does someone have to do to get fired from ESPN? Have another job lined up, like Colin. If you got another job lined up, they'll fire you on the spot. But if you don't have another job lined up, you're just suspended. So it really does irk me.
Okay. Anything else toward Curt Schilling as we move into these other controversial issue that I have? Or, this is a very enlightening cookout. I like that these guys are clearing their laws on that situation. Anything else around Curt Schilling before we get moving? Okay, the silence helps me. Do any of you guys have any topics before I keep rolling into these topics? Any of you, Chandler or Nacho? I come to you first, Nacho. Anything that you want to get off on your mind or off your chest here at the cookout?
You know, you did some of the best cooking I've seen or heard in a while. So my thought process is off right now. I did have some things okay. to football, but you got me going right now.
I'm good. But if you do, just stop me, because I'm on fire right now. Mr. Knight, anything that you would like to address before I keep going?
Nah, keep rolling, man. Keep rolling.
Okay, so here we go. Another interesting situation, people. Controversial. And Chandler, I guess I'm going to come to you last because this is your respected team, but I don't know if you guys heard about this situation. Dalvin Cook, the halfback from Florida State, is found not guilty in his situation, and the suspension is lifted. Now, there has been two different instances down there with this Florida State team as of this offseason where, you know, guys have been actually, and this is why I'm saving Chandler for last, because one, this is his team, but two, this is an issue that Chandler does not like. Where two of their guys have actually, you know, had an aggressive or an assaulting situation toward females. Now, Dalvin Cook being their star running back, returning for this season, his suspension being lifted and found not guilty, I want to see how you guys feel about this situation. If, you know, there could be politics involved, you know, knowing this is Florida State, knowing how this team has been generating big money for the past two seasons, is this a concern for college football, or do you think they really had nothing to stick toward Dalvin Cook? Nacho, I'm coming to you first. I'm saving Chandler for last.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, this is the player that was caught on videotape, correct?
No, the one that was caught on tape was the quarterback. The quarterback got caught on tape. The quarterback
Jesus.
Was
Dude,
on. Right. this is what I'm saying. There was two different instances. Him and his name escapes me, the quarterback that was supposed to take the slot for Jameis this season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, from what I've heard of this story, and I did hear a little bit of this earlier today, and I did try to quick read it right after that earlier, just that work couldn't get to the whole story. You know, misdemeanor charge of trying to punching a woman in the face, and acquitted of the charges and things of that nature, and suspension. You know, ultimately uplifted. There's really nothing I can say to this. It's appalling how he's still on the team. But, you know, wins equal dollars. If you can provide wins, you can provide dollars. And no matter what you do off the field, you know, that's it. So it disgusts me that they still even kept him on the team, had him on suspension. You know, but this is the day and age we live in where everything gets swept under the rug as long as you can perform on the field. So this is what they plan to do with it. And you know, me flapping my guns about how wrong they are as a school really upsets me right now. You know, it's just wrong. It's really wrong. You know, it's wrong on so many levels that it can't be quantified. You know, but dollars rule everything, and it's a hard truth.
Okay, Chandler, this is your respected university that you like in college football, and knowing our rivalry between these two teams, but this is an issue that you do not like in sports. And him actually being found not guilty, and, you know, people don't remember the situation. He got into an argument with a young lady while they were in the bar. He's actually under 21 at the time. He's 19 in a bar. She gets into an argument with him. They step outside. He punches her in the face several times. And now the situation grew, and now he's actually found not guilty. Your thoughts on the situation for him being a big-time coveted running back for the Florida State University? And, I mean, everything that you can think of in this situation, I mean, the floor is yours here at the cookout.
Well, I'm done with Florida State. Let me see. Florida State's in Tallahassee.
A Tallahassee jury,
probably for the Florida State fans, took 20 minutes to find him not guilty. All of the witnesses were teammates of his, and another guy who said, oh, I have no relationship to anybody. I'm just an innocent bystander. Yeah, okay. It's bullshit. It is. This is people are talking about when they talk about Florida State, Florida, Miami, and what goes down in the court system there. Again, the business of college football. If Dalvin Cook was a third-string running back who didn't have an NFL future, I guarantee you he'd be found guilty. Guarantee it. Guarantee. But this young lady, everybody who was a witness, was either affiliated or fan of Florida State. So did anybody think he wouldn't be found guilty? I mean, not guilty?
You know what? And Jimbo Cook, shame on you, man. Shame on you. The fact that this kid was in a bar underage and got to any sort of altercation should be enough to remove him from the team. The fact of the matter is, there's too many Florida State players who think they're above the law. The fact is, there's too many Florida State players who think, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. What are they going to do to me? I play for the Seminoles. There's too many fans on juries who think it's okay to let that football player, that baseball player, that basketball player, whatever sport that player plays, get away with it. Well, because I'm a fan, and you know he's a really good player. He can't be a bad guy. That's my idol. Really? Is this where we are in this country right now? Is this really where we are? Is this really where we are? I'm done with Florida State. Dalvin Cook should have been found guilty. And Jimbo Fisher, shame on you for letting that young man back on that team.
Now, here goes an interesting situation. Now, the quarterback's name is DeAndre Johnson. I just looked that situation up. And he was in a situation this summer as well, fighting a young lady, and that was the one that me and Nacho were referring to, because they actually have footage of him punching the young lady in the face. Now, Dalvin Cook's situation comes around, he's found not guilty, but interesting enough, looking at it from what Chandler just said, you mean to tell me that not only once, but twice, you got a situation with Jameis Winston? Now, one, I want to say that it was him getting ready to get ready for college while he got into it with a young lady. And then, you know, the second instance was when he went into the Publix and stole some seafood. I mean, I really don't want to sound like the Hurricane fan. He stole some crab legs and walked out of Publix, so on and so forth. But that's just me being a Hurricane fan. But still, yet, you know, he stole some, you know, seafood out of a restaurant. I stole it out of a supermarket and gets caught up. You know, just like Chandler says, kind of feel like he's above the law. You know what this kind of reminds me of, and people probably don't remember this movie, even though it's one of my favorite football movies, is The Program, where everything was happening to Latimer and, you know, stuff like that. And Latimer got back on the field, and he was facing suspension for, you know, steroid use, stuff like that. And it kind of feels like this because it is swirling around the atmosphere of college football. So now you have a situation where, and in that movie, too, Latimer gets into a quote-unquote raping scene, if you will, with a young lady and had to fight that off. But interesting enough, this is a situation where these young men, just like Chandler said, feel like they may be above the law, or just because they're Florida State Seminole, that this might be end up being swept under the rug if they follow the right channel or go by the right accord. They have to be held responsible to some light. But just like Chandler said, for the outcome to be taken care of within a 30-minute scheme of things, it's like, wait, who set this case up? I mean, really? I mean, who paid off who? Did the boosters get involved and put up $1 million to keep everybody quiet? Like, it just seems very fishy, especially at this time right before the season starts for Florida State. This doesn't even affect them at all. At all. They had, you know, let's just say they had two different instances happen in one off season. And, you know, I mean, they're missing a quarterback with Johnson being out, but now Dalvin Cook comes back, so they at least have leverage of a weapon in this situation. So, I mean, I'm up in arms about the situation. I mean, if they really didn't have any evidence, if they didn't have any evidence to stick to them, that's a different situation. But for them to quickly come up with an outcome after all of the cords and the path that they had to follow to get to this point is very questionable, to say the least. Yeah, yes, Nacho.
I mean, and to shed a little light on the whole court thing, the report that I just read, it said, you know, he was charged with a misdemeanor and he was acquitted. And only thing written about it was she said he initially tried to pacify the situation before he grew angry and punched her several times in the face. So that just sits there and tells me, hold on. Sorry, worked around a lot of dust today. But that tells me that, you know, they went in that jury room and thought, you know, he tried to stop, she instigated it, it's her fault, acquit. And that just really, you know, hurts even more to the fact that,
you know, they're Florida State, you know, probably fans. It's probably a Florida State Seminole courtroom. And it's just, it's ridiculous that, you know, that's all they say in the report because, you know, that's all they can probably only say without making him look completely guilty after this not guilty verdict.
Okay, Chandler, anything else left behind this situation as we move forward?
The only thing I'll say is this. How many unreported assaults happen on college campuses against young women? Especially major universities. And the biggest reason is because these young women don't feel that anyone, no one's going to believe them. When they do report it, they get swept under the rug. They get blamed. What did you do? It's just sad, man. It's truly, truly sad.
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. Chandler, the next topic I am going to come to you because this is something that I did not get to, and I want to see how you feel about the Yankees close to shutting down CC Sabathia to a knee injury. Now, is this something that spills into this season how he has not pitched like himself all season long? And for them to shut him down now, your thoughts on the Yankees and their pitching staff moving forward?
Well, CC Sabathia has arthritic knees, has a degenerative knee issue, which I have. He's always going to be in pain. It's a matter of pain tolerance when you have knee problems like that. He's been pitching with bad knees all season. If anybody noticed the last three games, he's gained more velocity, but he hasn't pitched as well because he just said to hell with it. He started putting more pressure on his knees. Now, it's just going to be a 15-day DL. They're not going to do any surgery because there's no surgery to do. There's nothing they can do. This is his situation basically for the rest of his life. It's a matter of pain tolerance right now for CC. It's a matter of pain tolerance. And I personally think this is really his last season because I don't think that he can continue pitching like this. I really don't. I think they'll find a way to get him through the season. He'll gut it out. I think CC will win a big game in the playoffs. But for all intents and purposes, CC Sabathia is done. He's done. He has two more years on his contract, and he may try to pitch just so he can, because he's a proud guy. He's an honest guy. He's a guy of integrity, and he wants to earn his money. But I truly think that if the Yankees win the World Series, I think CC retires. I think he retires because I don't think he wants to be a guy who just hangs on for a check. He doesn't strike me as a person like that. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's just going to show up because, you know what, like Steve Nash, I ain't retiring because I want my money. He don't strike me as that type of guy. But the fact of the matter is, for all intents and purposes, CC Sabathia is done as a major league pitcher. He's done. There's nothing they can do. There's no, you know, it's either you take a bunch of painkillers or you just grit your teeth and bear it. I do think that he is going to pitch again this season. Like I said, I think he's going to win a big game in the playoffs for the Yankees. That's why they wanted to go to a six-man rotation to kind of give him and a couple other guys more rest before they pitch. Because if you've noticed, any time that CC has had more rest, he's pitched better. Because guess what? You've been off your knees for longer, so it's not as much pain the day you're pitching. But like I said, for all intents and purposes, CC Sabathia is done as a pitcher. He's been a warrior, and I hope the Yankees can win the World Series just so he can retire with some dignity.
Okay, Nacho, anything that you would like to say towards CC, or should I go to the next topic? Because it does favor you in this next topic.
I do not have anything towards CC, but I did have a topic as well. So whenever you're ready, we can go at it.
Okay, I'll let you throw your topic out. Go ahead, because I still got stuff simmering on the grill today.
All right. Sunday morning, there was an injury in a game to an offensive lineman. His name is Marquise Pouncey for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that, coupled with the news that happened today, it's very interesting to me. Now, do you guys feel the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed Michael Vick to a one-year contract? Because they believe that offensive line is shoddy, and with Ben Roethlisberger's past injury issues, he is liable to get injured this year. and they need a solid backup behind him. That's why they went and signed him to a one-year contract, being Michael Vick. Do you believe that the Marquise Pouncey injury was the reason for this signing, or do you believe they were going to get him anyway this so early in the preseason to make him their backup? I'll just throw it to whoever wants to go at it first, but that's how I feel. I really do feel that the injury set them up because of Ben's past injuries. They know that offensive line, the most important position on a not-so-good offensive line, being the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line, that they feel like Ben can get injured this year, and they wanted a solid backup. And Michael Vick, if anything, is a solid number two in this league.
Chandler, your thoughts on the situation around the Pittsburgh Steelers addressing Michael Vick, you know, if this is a good move or not. Now, I've seen the links. I was still trying to look for some truth to it, but if it is, and now I do see it, it is official that he did end up signing a one-year deal with the Steelers. One, why don't the Steelers organization have faith in Ben Roethlisberger, knowing how much he's been through? And two, I mean, to address it from Nacho's standpoint, I mean, with the issue that they've had in the years past while this, you know, this team has aged together, is this a situation where Michael Vick could play hero if Ben does end up getting hurt?
I'm shocked right now. I did not hear about that. It's the first I'm hearing of it. So I'm kind of shocked right now. Wow. I didn't see that coming at all. I did not see that coming. Wow. I think that, well, one, the Steelers didn't have a good backup. And if anybody's paid attention over the years, even with Cowher, the Steelers' backup has always been a mobile guy. Charlie Batch, whoever. It's always been a guy who was kind of a run-first, pass-second kind of a guy. You know, Charlie Batch for years was the backup. We all know Charlie Batch is more of a runner than a thrower, and now it's Michael Vick. So I think they're staying true to form with that. I think the fact that the offensive line isn't as good as it has been played a role, I absolutely do. And let's not forget, Marquise Pouncey, it's not the first time they've lost him to an injury. It's not the first time. So, you know what, Nacho? You know, connecting the dots, it makes sense. It does make sense, because if the offensive line isn't as good and Ben winds up, because we all know Ben is a kind of a drama queen when it comes to injuries, and Michael Vick is a guy who, in the right system with the right coach and with a decent offensive line, can be a good backup. You know what I'm saying? For two or three games, especially if he's engaged, which he wasn't with the Jets, he is a guy that can win you some games. But I did not see that coming at all. But it doesn't shock me that they took a mobile quarterback. I'm just shocked it was Michael Vick. Hello?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Well, here's the interesting situation that I have looking at it with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their backups, who are elusive quarterbacks, now I could think of a Charlie Batch, I could think of, well, he's not really elusive, but Byron Leftwich. And the one that comes to my mind quickly is the one I really want to hit on, is Dennis Dixon, being another guy that was a mobile quarterback. Didn't really have good stints while being with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this is something that I am looking at quite cautiously. But then again, it's like they are doubting Ben Roethlisberger. Now, I'm not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I cannot stand them due to the fact that I'm serious. But I do love and respect Ben Roethlisberger. I do like his style of play. One of those quarterbacks that don't really take no crap and goes out there and balls every time he can. Now, they're looking at a guy that has won two Super Bowls and leading this team through different situations, different instances of his career. And they're already pegging it to be a situation where if they don't have the right protection up front, that he could end up getting hurt. It's like, y'all don't believe in a quarterback that has proven that he can get it done? Like that's the one thing that I'm baffled by. And two, Michael Vick is now 35 years old. I think his style of play is not the play that, you know, I think will fit the Pittsburgh Steelers, unless they run the read option, him and Le'Veon to get that down. But that's if it presents itself. I really don't think Tomlin will end up pulling the trigger. But this will be interesting to see if they do, you know, go on with this situation. So I'll throw this one back to you now. So your thoughts on the situation. I mean, how do you feel about Vic going to Pittsburgh?
I think it's a precautionary thing, like I said. I really do think that they fear Ben can get hurt. He has gotten hurt before. Drama Queen's a little a little funny and kind of true, but I do think he has gotten injured before and over-embellished some of the injury, took some time off, not necessarily just because he wanted to take time off, but to make sure that injury was fully healed before coming back, which is never a bad thing. But I felt like, you know, he could have played. The injury didn't seem to be, you know, and I'm not in his body, so I can't say whether or not it was bad or not, but it didn't seem to be, for all intents and purposes, an injury that he couldn't play with sometimes. But that's him here or there. The fact that I think that he has been injured before, he has missed time before, the fact that, you know, Marquise Pouncey, even though he was injured before, he is an integral part of that offensive line, and he is, you know, obviously being the center and being one of the best centers in the league, at his position, he really is a big miss for them on an offensive line that isn't really strong at all. You know, all five positions, they're losing a cog in their offensive line, and not only will it hurt them, I think it might even hurt Le'Veon Bell, and I think that's what they're fearing, is that the run game might not be there as much. So that's going to get, you know, them into some trouble. They're going to have to play catch up. Ben's going to have to throw more. We all know how Ben is, and the time's going to be a lot shorter than it was in the past, and they feel at this older age he could get injured. And Michael Vick, not you know, and Chandler hit the nail on the head. They have always had a mobile backup quarterback, no one to the ability of Michael Vick, and no one who could literally come in for three or four games and change the outlook of your offense and still win games. And then when Ben comes back, it could be seamlessly go back to that offense with Ben and pick up and continue to win. So that's why I think it's a good pickup. I don't know. I'm not going to wish ill health on a player. I don't know if it will. But, you know, if you know, like I always say, when if is a fifth, we'll all be drunk. But if in the event it does go down, it's a good pickup. In the event it doesn't go down, it's interesting to talk about.
My question, Ty, is why are you taking this as a lack of faith in Ben Roethlisberger? What it actually is a lack of faith. It's actually a show of support for Ben, because if something does happen to Ben, he doesn't have to rush back, number one. And number two, what this shows you is just how bad the situation is in D.C. and just how incompetent the coach is there. Okay? Now, contrary, the Washington Redskins have a terrible offensive line. They're going to get their quarterback killed, and they have no capable backup. Pittsburgh Steelers, oh man, our offensive line is going to be terrible. We need a capable backup. It's not so much as an indictment of Ben as it is the fact that they're acknowledging our offensive line might suck this year. We might put our quarterback in some unhealthy situations. If it does happen, we need somebody we can throw in there. And you know what? If he winds up getting hurt, okay. But as long as we get Ben down, you know what I'm saying? So I don't really see it as an indictment of Ben. I see it more so as support for Ben, because now he knows, listen, if I do get hurt behind this terrible offensive line I'm getting ready to have, you know, I can take the game, let Mike win that game, let Mike get beat up against that team. You know if he's going to miss a game, he's going to wind up being against, like, the Ravens or something. Okay? Put Mike Vick in there, let him get beat to death, and then Ben can come back the next game.
Now, here goes an interesting twist to this, is how does this – you know, I guess more or less the Pittsburgh Steelers get to deal with everything on the road with two of the more controversial quarterbacks in the league right now being Ben Roethlisberger and Michael Vick. Everybody knows the past of Ben Roethlisberger, two different instances, one in Georgia, one in Nevada, and Michael Vick, well, his first time offense was probably the biggest thing heard about in football in quite some time. They're going to have to deal with this show on the road, you know, in every stadium that they have to visit. So, you know, with Ben and Mike having to dodge all of the trash that they're going to be thrown at, whether it's from the crowd or, you know, the media select team, I mean, how do they dodge this moving forward? I'll come right back to you, Chandler.
But they don't. I mean, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to have people booing them anyway. I mean, this is a franchise that you either love or hate. So I don't think it adds any extra anything. People have pretty much moved on from the Michael Vick thing, except, you know, those people who value animals over human beings. And, you know, those are fringe nut jobs anyway, as far as I'm concerned. So who cares what they think?
Nacho, and you, do you think this is something that they'll overlook, or is this something that you think that could end up being a situation moving forward for this Pittsburgh Steelers team?
I don't see this being a situation at all. And to be honest, I think both those situations are in the far past, and that they're more talking about the on-play thing on the field more than they are talking about anything. And if I know they're going to have the hecklers and things of that nature, but those are the Neanderthals, so to speak, that are drunk on the sidelines that are screaming at them. I don't think anyone in the paper that is legitimate in a big city that they'll visit is going to write anything about those two off the field. So I don't think it's going to be an issue that they're going to have to deal with, whether it be the dog issue, which I have no problem with now, or whether it be the issue with Ben, which to me, if I'm not mistaken, he's married now with children. If not children, I think he's got a child on the way or a child now. So I think all of that has kind of been put in his past. He's moved on from that, and that's not anything he worries about anymore. And I don't think the team worries about that either. So I think both situations are kind of moot points now. If this was 3 or 4 years ago, yes, I think this would be something in the forefront. But now, 2015, and both these guys being able to play multiple years after those incidents, and Michael Vick being able to pay his debt off to society and come back and reinvigorate his career, I think they're both in the past for both those situations.
Okay, we got a little over 10 left. I'm going to try and squeeze one topic in, and this is cookout talk. This is definitely cookout talk on this one. I'm going to come to you, Nacho, to set this one off. Now, 37 is the key number here, and it hurts me to say that number in front of this gentleman, man, or player that I'm going to talk about, because I love him as a player, but he always is a rival of mine every single time he stepped on a field, wherever he played at. The Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers are stressing interest into Randy Moss. Now, Randy Moss can actually fill the void of two different instances. Kevin White being the rookie out for the Chicago Bears, and Alshon Jeffrey nursing his injury, so on and so forth, watching Brandon Marshall walk away. Moss could be a guy that could actually help impact him being on the field, being a decoy, if he still had a little bit of his step with him. And then, if he ends up going to the Packers to fill the void for Jordy Nelson, where Randall Cobb is saying that there's no, you know, cause for panic without their number one receiver, but still yet to add Moss to a cavalry in front of Aaron Rodgers, makes this quite problematic for some of these teams across the league. Your thoughts on both perspectives of each team, if you want to talk about the Bears picking them up, the Packers picking them up, or neither, is up to you, Nacho. I'll let you set this one off.
As it pertains to the Bears, I don't see them picking him up. I don't know what it does to anyone. It doesn't really behoove anyone on the team. They're not in playoff contention. They're not going to be in any kind of contention except for maybe the first pick in the draft. So, you know, the tease or the amount of carrot that they could offer him, I don't think the reward at the end of the season for getting beat up for 16 games is going to be enough without having Super Bowl implications, Super Bowl hopes on the line. So the Chicago Bears, I don't think that goes anywhere. I think he's made his decision on not coming back. As it pertains to the Green Bay Packers, you know, I've said it before, I say it again, we have the closest thing to what is called in the major league to a farm system as you can get.
we constantly have 50 to 50, 49, 51, 52 players out of 53 that we have either drafted or we have, you know, picked up as undrafted free rookies and never played on another team other than ours. That's just how we work. And I don't think we're going to go out in free agency and get someone who's mooned us. I'm never, ever going to see Randy Moss in a Green Bay jersey. It'll never happen. There's no way, and I will curse now, there's no way in hell Randy Moss wears a Green Bay jersey. The interest needs to be a rumor. I'm very sure. I don't think we would ever have interest in a Randy Moss at all. So it does not behoove us to pick him up whatsoever. The receivers we have in our receiving core, we are able to move them up and we'll grow that way. There's no need to throw Randy Moss in the mix and just kind of mess everything up. It really doesn't behoove either situation to go out and get him. So I believe neither team gets him. If the Bears do try to, it will be an emphatic no. And the Packers, I laugh at that thought. I don't even understand why that is a question.
But this isn't even for you. Like this is the team. You can't get mad. You know, I'm talking about the perspective for the Packers. You can't. You got to let bygones be bygones.
I'm saying they would never even go after
him. Wait, you got to let bygones be bygones. That happened in 2004, man. That was 11 years ago, man. He mooned you guys 11 years ago.
Well, I was not talking about the incident. Come on now. Let's not be ridiculous. The fact that the guy plays the Minnesota Vikings and the fact that he is long gone, the fact that we don't pick up free agents ever. I think Julius Peppers was the last and only one we've ever picked up in free agency in the last 10 years underneath the current GM and organization front office we have. It's not necessarily because he mooned us. Come on now, let's be serious. It was more of a joke. But the fact that we don't go after free agents, we just don't do that. The fact that he's sitting in a Fox Sports studio week in and week out commentating, he cannot get on this field right now and compete or to put anything worthy. Like, come on, let's be real. This man's old. Father Time is undefeated. Okay, he can make it for one play and in one game maybe. That's it? This is unrealistic. So that's why I feel that the Packers would never go for him. And the Bears, even if they did have a stable – receivers and Kevin White was there, which he is not even now. There's no reason for them to go after him, but this is the Bears we're talking about, so they might. I just don't see why it would even help them. Jay Cutler would try to throw it deep all the time. He'd get intercepted because that's all Randy Moss can do now. He's not going to run routes. So it's really, you know, I don't understand why this would even be a question because he's really not nowhere near even 2012, 2013. He's not even as good as he was last year, and he wasn't even playing. So,
okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the perspective of him potentially being an interest for the Bears or the Packers, with both of them being down interesting positions at the wide receiver position. Do you think Moss could help impact the either-or team?
Yeah, with the Bears, he would catch a lot of balls because we all know Alshon Jeffrey is going to get hurt again. They don't have Kevin White, and they don't actually have any other receivers. The draw for him in Chicago is he gets to catch a lot of balls. And I think Randy Moss can still play. First of all, Randy Moss is a physical freak of nature. I think he can still play. I think he can still be a very good third receiver on any team. And on the Packers, he would be the third receiver. He wouldn't be the first option. He wouldn't be the second option. He'd be the third option. But he'd be a really good third option. Randy Moss knows more about running routes than three-quarters receivers in this league. Okay? He played every receiver position. He went across the middle. He went deep. He played in the slot. He did all of those things. He wasn't the guy who ever took a lot of big hits. Even though most of his quarterbacks over his career always threw him into danger, somehow he always avoided the hit and caught the ball, by the way. I think if the Packers were to pick him up, it wouldn't be to make him a primary option,
but I think he would be a very valuable addition to that team. In the sense that if whoever they think is going to step up for Jordy doesn't work out, and not for nothing, having a veteran receiver like Randy Moss, a Hall of Fame receiver like Randy Moss, to kind of help groom some of these young receivers, that's never a bad thing. That's never a bad thing. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about why the guys like Reggie Wayne and guys like that aren't being picked up because teams can't afford to bring them in. This is a situation where the Packers can't afford to bring in that veteran receiver. But they got a bunch of guys who don't know how to play receiver in the NFL. Having a Randy Moss there can only help. So I see it as a positive for both teams. And again, for the Bears, okay, you know what? You're going to sell some more tickets. You're going to sell some tickets because Bears fans are going to come out and see Randy Moss. They ain't coming out to see Jay Cutler. We all know that. After like game three, ain't nobody going to be coming out there. So now you got Randy Moss. They'll come out to see Randy Moss. They'll come out to see Jay Cutler throw to Randy Moss. Anybody coming out to see Jay Cutler throw to some bum when Alshon Jeffrey's hurt and Kevin White's hurt? Who's he throwing to? Martellus Bennett? Don't nobody give a damn about Martellus Bennett. So it makes sense for Chicago. It's going to keep them, you know, it's going to keep them relevant. But I think he makes more sense for Green Bay. Honestly, I really do. I think if Green Bay picks him up, I think he'd be a fine addition. I really do.
Interesting enough. Not sure anything to add before we close the lid on this thing.
No, I just, you know, it's a valid point if he could still play. But like I said, the organization doesn't do it. That's just not what we do. We don't go out and get, you know, splash signings in the free agents or big names, whoever they may be. It's not an organizational thing. We trust in the draft process. We trust in the coaches and the coaching staff, and that's what they do, and they groom from within. So, you know, obviously, the intelligent-wise, you know, Randy Moss being one of the smartest receivers in the league, to pick his brain, would it not help young second-year rookie receivers? Obviously. I just don't think he's got the talent level on the field still. That's just me thinking Father Time's still undefeated. That has nothing to do with whether or not he could still bench press a lot or run fast down the field. You know, I think whether or not, you know, some people want to believe it, people get old. And whether or not that, you know, that they can do, you know, great things when they get older and they're physically fit, sometimes this game is a lot different. And whether or not you feel like the wide receiver position is denigrated because of the rules or what have you and how they can't touch you, it's still, you still got to run over that middle and you're still going to get hit. And you know, we sit here and talk about Randy not wanting to play a lot whenever he felt like playing. Now it's the end of the career. So, you know, but I really just don't think as an organization we would take that step to even contact him or to even try to get him in. It's something organizationally we don't do.
Just saying. I wanted to get to the Moses Mayorga little spat or fight that they had at the face-off today. Sugar Shane Mosley basically choked Mayorga for, you know, kicking his female friend in the backside. That was one. Joe Madden actually thinks big of the Cubs winning the World Series. Can the Cubs finally shake the jinx? Had that as well. But interesting note that just happened today. Minnesota twin Miguel Sano just hit a home run today. First player since Adam Dunn, 22 years or younger in their rookie campaign, that hit over 12 home runs in their first 45 games. Sano has hit that mark since Adam Dunn did it in his rookie season. So proud of you, Miguel. I really think you're going to be a big bat. I was saying that before Chandler said it the other day, and people know I don't like to big up my boys, but he got me to check this one out. He just gave him a drive today, so watch out for Miguel Sano in days to come, years to come, months to come, however you want to look at it. He's a monster at that plate. Okay, the cookout is coming to a close. I need plugs, closeouts from each of you. I'll start with you first, Mr. Silva. You already know what to do. Anything you like to plug, promote, or shout out, please do so. Epic episode here at the cookout.
Again, epic episode, Chandler. Ty, thanks for letting me come on. You know, at Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. December 19th, UFC is having a UFC fight night
on that night. Nate Diaz makes his return against Michael Johnson. The bigger fight, though, however, is Junior Dos Santos will also take on Alistair Overeem in that card as well. That's a big fight. That's a big night. Nate Diaz in the return, you know, he is, and for all intents and purposes, I think he is the better brother. But that, you know, what to say when your brother is Nick. So, but as it pertains to the fight, those will be interesting. The Ronda Rousey fight, some other boxing fights have been announced. The Mayorga thing, real quick, the disrespect Mayorga has still looming from way back when. I really hope Sugar Shane Mosley lays him out. And I really hope I really hope it's bad. The amount of disrespect Mayorga is showing, not only with what he did, I believe it's today, but what he did when they stood in face-to-face blew smoke into Sugar Shane's face. That's the ultimate sign of disrespect as well. So I hope Mayorga gets his behind whooped, and I hope that I get to watch it firsthand, and I'll have a big grin when he does. Again, just boxing, free boxing for all, PBC. Just check out the website. The schedule is up there. You can find out all the free fights. Like I said, just scroll down, stop it, and pick one and watch it. You're definitely going to want to watch this one this weekend on ESPN, Abner Mars versus Santa Cruz. It's going to be a slobber knocker for real, and it's going to be a fight that everyone's going to want to pay attention to. So check that out. We'll definitely be talking about that. Again, at Nacho in the Box, thank you guys so much.
Did it twice, Sports City. No back-to-back MVP and all that stuff. I'm doing work, Sports City. I'm doing work. I'm getting him out of his element. That's what you do. That's what you do. I'm doing work at the cookout, man. And what he said about that December 19th date, I guess he must want me to stay out there in Vegas for 2 weeks. I don't know. I don't know what he's up to, but I'm Sports City. I don't need to think about December right now, but I guess I have to. Mr. Knight, I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote as we close the lid here at the cookout.
A lot of fun tonight, man. Nacho, Todd, thanks. Great show. I don't really have anything tonight. Just, you know, like you said, Miguel Sano is going to be a preeminent player for the next 10 years in Major League Baseball. Outside of that, listen, man, It was a great show tonight.
Please continue to stress and spread the love, whether you're catching us on iTunes, wherever you're listening to us on Twitter. I mean, I'm putting it up there for you people, man. I think we might be on tomorrow. I gotta talk to Mr. Silver if he wants to do it, because I'm going to try and give y'all as much as I can before Thursday comes to a close, because Sports City, I will not be in the kitchen Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So I'm going to try and give y'all as much as I can before I get away from here. I will be going to the West Coast, so you'll at least have a show Saturday. I'm going to try and see if we can squeeze a brunch in there Sunday, get somebody there. So I'm going to be moving, Sports City, I must say. So I'm going to try to do the best that I can. But epic episode, all types of controversial stuff, and these dudes came to cook. That's what I'm talking about. SportsCityChefs.com, that's check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Stay tuned, Twitter and Facebook. I'm going to see if we can get something done for tomorrow. But on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down. We going to make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'll make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me. But I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch.
I got is this money. Listen to
who would have thought I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
You got me staring at the world through my rear view. Go ahead, baby, scream to God. He can help you with your problems, brothers. Why won't we come through? They can't relate to chef music up them with their problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Sports City. That's all I got. I'm gone.